Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to your presence this morning by the blood of Jesus, confessing our sins, Lord. Lord, receiving forgiveness and a cleansing and a purging of our conscience by the blood of Jesus from all dead works to serve the living God. Father, as we go into your service this morning, we all stand in awe of your mercy. That mercy will speak, Lord, on our behalf today. Mercy not to be consumed. Mercy to be faithful as an oracle of God. Mercy to triumph over the accusation of your enemy in the name of Jesus Christ. My Father and my God, I strip myself of every confidence. And my yet I have my own knowledge of this prayer. I put all my confidence in your mercies. In the grace of the Lord Jesus, the help of the Holy Spirit. In particular, I duck under the covering of my said spiritual parents, that same covering. Lord, I will tap into it in a measure that is more than enough to cause your purpose for this service to be established in spite of myself in the name of Jesus Christ. Our Father, God, also pray for grace. And mess that the word goes forth, it will go forth in accuracy, in power, in clarity, in simplicity, and the comfort and love of the Holy Spirit, bringing refreshing to everyone God here gathered this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. Causing our wills to become more humble, our minds to further enlightened by revelation knowledge of Christ's life, and our emotions to be properly controlled and tempered by the power of the Spirit. I pray for grace to redeem your time out to say things that are unnecessary. Lord, cause we praise and glory to God to the name of Jesus and blessings unto all sons of men. Father, I thank you. Lord, just I thank you. Holy Spirit, I set you at my right. Come and have your way. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We've been in this book of Timothy for some time now. And last time we were in 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16. Let's just do a brief recap as we move on. 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16. I'm trusting God for help. Is our present help in trouble. Praise the Lord. So we are talking last time about this last verse. We'll just do a brief recap. Then we'll move on to what God has for us today. Praise the Lord. So Paul was talking. You know, he's been talking about deacons, about bishops. And then he started, during when he was talking about bishops, he said a deacon must hold the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And we'll talk about that mystery as Christ in us is the hope of glory. Praise the Lord. So he now begins to end this chapter with this particular verse. It says, and without controversy, great is what? The mystery of godliness. Let's say it again. And without controversy, great is what? The mystery of godliness. Now, what is the mystery of godliness? Now, it begins to explain. God, let's say God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and then received up into glory. Let's say together, great is the mystery of godliness. What is Paul trying to tell us here? He said, without controversy or without debate. That is, there must have been a debate before. But when Christ came in the flesh and it was manifest, he said, without controversy. When he came in the flesh, he settled every controversy in heaven and in earth. And he says, great is the mystery of godliness. Say, God was manifest in the flesh. John chapter 1 verse 14 says that, and the word became flesh and we beheld his glory. Great is the mystery of godliness. We don't have time to turn there today because it's not the message for today. There are seven basic principles and mysteries in the Bible. We're going to do a study on, talk about the mystery of godliness, mystery of iniquity, talks about the mystery of Gentiles coming to the church, mystery of speaking in tongues, talks about mystery Babylon. There are seven of them. I can't reel them off immediately now, but you can check. There are seven, but of two of those mysteries, the mystery that it speaks about, it talks this one, great is the mystery of godliness. And also it starts with the same in another way, book of Ephesians. It says that I speak concerning a great mystery, concerning Christ and the church. Of all the mysteries, this manifestation of God in the flesh, Bible calls it a great mystery. It's a great secret. But I kept it inside himself. Before time began. So he says, great. So Bible says that when Christ came, I said, the word became manifest. And we beheld his glory as the only begotten at that time of the Father. He says now, he says that justified in spirit. Let's say justified in spirit. Romans chapter 1 verse 4. As you just go through. Romans, what does it say? And declared, talking about Jesus, and declared to be the Son of God, what? With power, according to the spirit of holiness, by what? The resurrection from the dead. He was justified in the spirit. When God raised him up on the third day, he was justified by the spirit. Then 19 says that he was seen of angels and preached unto the Gentiles. You see, he could not be preached unto the Gentiles until he was raised from the dead. When he was raised from the dead, then he opened the door. That's when he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel unto every ethnos. And that was the ministry that was committed to the Apostle Paul. Acts chapter 9 verse 15. When God appeared to, or Lord appeared to Ananias, he sent him to him. And he said, but the Lord sent unto him, talking about Ananias, he said, go thy way, for he is the what? Chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. You see, at this time, I'll just make a brief comment before we move on. You see, I believe Peter was the one that was supposed to spearhead the move to the Gentiles. That's why God sent him to Cornelius, but he kept hesitating, dragging his feet. My mother's not. What am I trying to say today? You see, when he refused to move with the purpose of God, God did not set him aside. He continued that ministry, but God raised up Paul. While his shadow was eating people, God already moved beyond what he was doing. It was comfortable to stay in Jerusalem and to minister to the Jews. So what is that lesson? Yes, we need to learn this. You see, never be, Mama will always say, there's no status quo in the kingdom. I can't say because I'm preaching today, then I'm comfortable. No. You have to keep moving. But the kingdom of God keeps advancing. In the purpose of God. You can imagine when Philip, after he did many miracles, you know, in that place, I've forgotten about the place, in Samaria, all of a sudden, God just took him away. Can you imagine starting a church, miracles occurring, being comfortable, tithes and offering coming in, and God takes him away to Azotus in the desert or somewhere there? What are we saying? You see, don't be complacent in your Christianity.
Amen.
Like Pastor Brown was preaching so beautifully on Wednesday. Say, blessed are they that hunger and thirst. Let there be a constant hunger.
Amen.
And thirst. Just like every morning when you wake up, at a certain point in the day, you'll be hungry. The Bible says that God's mercies are new every morning. So we must hunger for the freshness of God. Fresh manner. Are you following me? It's very important. So that's why God sent Paul to the Gentiles. And then the next thing says that received up into glory. Acts chapter 1 verse 9. Acts chapter 1 verse 9. What is it? And when he had spoken these things, while they were beheld him, he was taken up and a what? Cloud. That's the glory cloud. Received him out of his of their sight. You see, when you see cloud, it's not just literal cloud. I believe speaking about the glory, glory cloud. Just enveloped him and they saw him go. I know they told me, said, this same Jesus that you saw, God is able to come back the same way. Now, what are we saying? That was the mystery, great that mystery at that time. Now, presently, the Bible talks about God settling every controversy concerning Zion. And it is based on the same principle. God has to manifest again in the flesh. That's the only sense of where we're here, boys, folks. There's no other thing we should be living for. As we see. So God, like I said, we're in a season in which God is going to settle every controversy concerning Zion. How is he going to do that? As the life of God begins to be manifest in our mortal flesh. Now, you know, people can argue today and say groaning is not of God. They can argue today that look at your church. You have only one branch. This guy has 10,000 branches everywhere worldwide. They can argue today. Let them keep on arguing. But you see, when God appears in the temple, you see, you're going to know, like John the Baptist said, he said, unto whom you see the Spirit come down from and abide permanently, then that is the person.
Amen.
Right now, there is a controversy in the body of Christ about who is doing the right thing and who is doing it. But God is set to settle every controversy. Praise the Lord. That will happen when the life of Christ is manifested in our mortal flesh. When we enter that same glory that Lord Christ inherited and manifested. You can see 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 14. Don't have time to say, wherein he has called you to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus. I love that scripture so much. You know what? I can't hide from it. Say, wherein he has called you. Let's look at that. Whereunto he has called you. Point to yourself. Beat your chest. When God has called me by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ in this lifetime. Not when you get to heaven. That is your destiny. That is my destiny. And Lord God will see the travel of souls and will be satisfied.
Amen.
That there are guys out there.
Amen.
That when they come in, my God, I pray that we'll be part of them in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's very important. Don't let's get complacent about Christianity. Let us practice what the pastor has been teaching us. Let us take heed to these things. So what are we saying? Isaiah chapter 34 verse 8. God wants us to do the same controversy again. So that everybody's mouth will be shut. When you see the same glory of Lord Jesus Christ on some people and some people, that's a distinction.
Amen.
34. What does it say? For it is the day. Let's say, for it is the day of the Lord's vengeance. If you know in Isaiah, when Isaiah was talking, he talked about the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. And when Jesus Christ has fulfilled the first part, the second part is for the church to fulfill, you and I. I said, it is this day of the Lord's vengeance and the year of what? Recompenses for the controversy of Zion. He wants to say, and what is that controversy? It's when Christ is manifest in our mortal flesh. He will settle every controversy. So I'll be laughing at you, say, look at this guy, you don't have anything. And so and so age. You're always going to church morning, day and night, like Anna whatever, and Simeon praying, you can't even see anything. You know, what people tell people, say they are pastors and they are pastors. They end their word though, they are still chewing it, they will see two more when the glory appears. It is the day of distinction. It is when the day of that distinction, be excited. Don't let the tribulation disturb you. But the true much tribulation, we enter or we inherit the glory. Malachi chapter 3 verse 17. Malachi 3:17. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for covering. Malachi, what does he say? He said, and they shall be mine. Let's say, and they shall be mine. See the Lord of hosts. In that day when I make up my jewels, I will spare them as a man spared his son. That Sabbath thing, I don't have time to go there. God will give us understanding. Next verse. And then shall you return. That means people have departed. They have departed from this kind of ministry of those that serve God. Say, then shall you return and discern. Discernment will see into. Night is not clear. It is not clear now because there is no glory. Are you following me? So what people can use to determine who is serving God in natural is material and that's what they are using. Now, but there is a change coming. He says that, and they shall return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between that serveth God, that serveth him not. When God begins to pick up his jewels, may God count us worthy. Amen. And you carry the same glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. They will say, in fact, then you see the mass people come into the kingdom. Those that are born again, there'll be a shift. Drove, like he said about David and Saul. He said, they began to join David in their droves. One is like, Saul is dead. This is like the host of heaven. Praise the Lord. So we are about the next verse. Then the other verse after that. No, praise God. So I said, upon whom you see the Spirit of God descending and abiding permanently, never to live again. Those are the ones that have given God permanent rest. And it's going to happen this seventh day. Like he rested on the seventh day. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So let's open our Bibles. So just put the scripture here. Isaiah 60 verse 5. 60 verse 5. It talks about what God's about to do. Say, hear the word of the Lord. Ye that tremble at his word. Your brethren, say your brethren. I want prayer that are laughing at us now, that hated you, that cast you out of, for what? For my name's sake, my character's sake. That is, you are always talking about character. Holiness, fear God. Today is humility, tomorrow is humility, today is humility, tomorrow is humility. God says, don't worry. Say, listen, guys. He says, ye that tremble at my word, you brethren, I hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake. Said, let the Lord be glorified. But he shall what? Appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. Amen. He is going to appear like the sun is going to rise tomorrow. Amen. And we're in that season. So let us hasten the time. Let's hasten the coming. Amen. It's time to rejoice. Amen. It's a time for the church that knows where it's going to begin to rejoice. Amen. To hasten, to rush towards it. Like David rushed towards Goliath. He just ran towards it because he knew that, look, the timing was perfect for him. If he had waited or hesitated, this guy would have probably killed him. So immediately I speak, he knew that, look, I can't be. Wait, which stone do I pick? He just ran towards before the guy was ready. Bah! Suddenly, thank you, Pastor Ibrahim. He just destroyed the guy. So today we are going to go into the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Let's read. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm grateful. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Now, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in what? The latter times. Some shall do what? Depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing, present the seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. The Lord will have mercy on us. He said the Spirit is speaking expressly. And this is clear. It's certain.
And it's going to happen in this end time. It is certain. It is already happening. Expressly, clearly. Paul said it. The Lord Jesus also said it. Say, some shall depart from, not all. Say, some. Not all. I will not be part of that some that depart from the faith. But as they will, we'll see as we continue. What faith? Say, what faith? Faith are two levels. Faith concerning the Christian faith, generally speaking. Mass backsliding. Say, I'm no more doing this Christianity again out of offense. But you see, that one is, you know, you can easily know that one. If you see a boy that I'll see that as backsliding, maybe you see him in a bear parlor or womanizing. You don't need to, nobody needs to tell you. But the deception that is going on, many are departing and they don't know. And they are, because they have departed, they are still in the body. They've atrophied. Clouds without rain. But the spots in your fist. I for me. He said, twice plucked up, twice dead. They are in the body. That's why you know that parable says in the book of Matthew also. It says, leave the wheat and the tears. Say, don't gather them up because if you do that, you might uproot. So it's right now there are wheat and tears in the body of Christ. Or let us see. Now the second aspect of the faith that people are departing from is found in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 9. It says, the end, receiving the end of our faith, which is what the salvation of our soul. So people are departed from that. They don't believe that it's possible for you to be like God in this lifetime. So they will not say it, but they will just keep quiet. So what did they do? They leave that and then now use their faith for the wrong end, which is prosperity, get wealthy, die, and go to heaven. Folks, they have departed from the faith too. Don't follow it. The Bible says clearly, it says, receiving the end of your faith. That means if your faith has a beginning, it has an end. But the Lord Jesus Christ, it says that the author and the finisher of our faith. So the beginning of your faith is when you get born again, that must be an end. And the Bible makes it so clear that it's receiving the end of your faith, which is what? The salvation of your soul. Amen. Your spirit has been saved. Your soul must be saved. Will, mind, and emotion. And then your body. Amen. That is the end of the faith. If you don't believe in that, or you leave it and you go after something else, you have departed from the faith. I would probably say. Are you following me? So we must make sure and take it to ourselves that we follow after this. Perfection is not an option. No? In this end time. You know why? If you don't follow after this, you will yield to seducing spirits. Let me give you an example. If you are playing a football match and maybe you know you have already lost the game or you don't understand what is at stake, instead of just shoot to score, you start dribbling and start playing. Then your coach, maybe your pastor, say, hey guys, why did you come to pray? Oh, coach, why are you dribbling? And just, you know, everybody knows the coach. The guy, because you don't understand what is at stake. Or did they blow? Bam! End of game. Then those that are watching Nigeria, we lost this thing again. Why? Because those guys did not realize the end of the match we were playing. So they lost the match. You understand that simple illustration? So it's tempted. The Lord Jesus Christ is standing in heaven. God the Father is standing. No spirit is standing. They are, oh, guys, move on. Witnesses, three witnesses. And the great, they are watching. And yes, there are some Christians that don't understand purpose. And quietly departed from the faith. This one is too much. How can I be growing every morning? This fasting is too much. Well, they told you now. I know that in the other place, they don't even pray like we pray. They all say, mercy, every morning. And then they go out and they come up with gyps and all this kind. And nothing happens. Seducing spirit. So that peace be enticed. Praise the Lord. Let's move on. So, and I put here an example. I said that to depart is to draw back from purpose and destiny. From that illustration, let's look at Demas. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. 2 Timothy 4, 10. Let's read together. Demas was once a disciple of Jesus Christ. Paul. He said, for Demas had what? Forsaken me. He forsook his oversight and the teachings that Paul was teaching them. He said, for Demas had forsaken me, having loved. Say, having loved. Having loved this present world and is departed unto Thessalonica. Let's divide. Say, love. Love, one thing. He loved the world. He could not stand a beat pause. Ah, God. They beat you, and then you now go back again. Ah. He said, but you see, the key is this. It starts from the heart. The Bible in Hebrews talks about the evil acts of unbelief in departing from the Lord. Hebrews 3. You have to guard your heart. Manager, I said, diligently check what is going on in your heart. He said, having loved the world. What is the world? 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. He talks about lust of us. He says, love not the world. So want to see what Demas loved. You know, he said about world, it's not abstract, something that is just there. Bible makes it very clear. And he was talking to a Christian, a disciple. Not just an ordinary. He said, love not the world. Neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not. I thought he was born again. I love what he shared about in his heart. He has rendered it inoperative. Next verse. Thank you, Lord, Holy Spirit. For all, everything, in the world, that is what the loss of the flesh, the loss of the flesh, the loss of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of God. It's not of the Father, but it's of the world. It's the same temptation that they gave Lord Jesus Christ on the Mount of Temptation that is offering today. He said, if you bow down to me, I'll give you all the world. All the kingdom. The world. Lord Christ said, no, I'm not going to bow down. Say, thou shalt worship the Lord. That should be your answer. That should be the answer of your heart all the time. When those temptations come, those winds come, you see yourself, you don't have something. And everyone says, look, how many years are going to stay here? Look at this person. He's married, has children, has this, has that, has one, has another. And you are still here. Wait for the end of the weekend. I'm not praying for evil for anybody. I pray that I will repent. But see, just chill. We're in that day of distinction. So hang on to your halos. Praise the Lord. So it starts from the evil heart of unbelief. I mentioned the Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. But the Bible says in Hebrews 10, 39, says, we are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe us to the saving of the soul. It's saving of the soul is the issue. 1 Peter chapter 1, 9 mentions the same thing. It's the end of your faith. It says, we are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. So if you don't believe to the saving of the soul, you have drawn back unto perdition. I know the judgment of those that draw back unto perdition. Babylon. Is it that beast that goes into perdition? Praise the Lord. Will not draw back to perdition. Now, how does this operate? So the Spirit expressly tells us that in the end time, people shall depart from the faith, and that they shall, some, not all, give it to seducing spirits. And so let's say one, two things are behind this issue. Say the seducing spirits and the doctrine of devils. That's again, seducing spirits and the doctrines of devils. They are two separate things, but they work hand in hand. You see, these seducing spirits, they're the ones that bring about this false doctrine in the body of Christ through so-called men of God that have a rebellious heart, like Pastor has taught us, whose hearts are rebellious, and God, Satan now used that heart as a potter to distort God's purposes. I will explain as I go on. How do you know them? They overemphasize the prosperity message. They are seducing spiritual walking through those people. People don't know. You know, when a woman wants to seduce a man, there's a way they dress. They entice. Something that in those days, you go to a party, God forgive me, I see a lady dressed in miniskirt in those days, you just say, she blew my fuse. That means, when the fuse goes out, what happens? There's no light. So seducing spirits, I follow them. That's a natural illustration. Now think about Babylon. They want to blow your fuse. So you just take the light out. Then you begin to grope in darkness. I come back telling you, it's like a lamb led to the slaughter. You too. So you are going today, you go to one clinic on the express road. You go to no light, wandering over the place until they perish. Seducing spirits and doctrines of devil that work. What I'm saying, they work. Yes, sir. Such is an overemphasis of the prosperity message in the present day church. What do you do? They omit the which are matters of the law. They don't tell you the conditions. They omit it. They just say, don't worry, if you give the man of God this amount, you will get this. I give an example. And you get it. How can a man of God stand before his congregation and tell his congregation that if he wants a glorious blessing, he stands before the people. He says that he wants the glorious expectation that you must give money according to the number of your age on earth. You are in Nigeria! So he says that means if you are 30 years old, you give 30,000 Nairas. If you are 50 years old, you give 50,000. You can imagine the congregation. He now goes a step further. See, Jesus Christ. He now says, he starts, I watched, he said, those of you that can give Naira, stand there. Those that can give dollars, stand there. Those of you that can give both, stand in the middle. And you know the sad thing? Everybody lined up. So if you are 70 years old, you give 70,000 Naira. If you can afford boats, so you give 70,000 pounds or dollars or 70,000 Naira. Well, now, listen. Number one, it's contrary to what the master said. He said, when you do harms, don't let your left hand know what your right hand does. Now, that's why Peter was very angry. When that guy said, let me give you money for this gift. And you put in amplified. Amplified as ofuni, ofuni, olorombo. Put amplified. You see, we must not play with this, you know. It's a spirit. So you don't tolerate those that yield to that spirit. Not that you don't hate them. He put it amplified. He says, but Peter said unto him, Peter said unto him, is that destruction? Olorombo, overtake you, your money, and you, because you have imagined you could obtain free gift of God with money. It's an insult to God, the Holy Spirit. When he went to the cross, he's not charging us for a cover. So why are you charging people for money? What an insult. You know why judgment must begin in the house of God? Starting from the sanctuary. He said, go to the sanctuary. He said, begin to mark them. They are signs for the abomination of Zion. Starting from the ancient men. Folks, we are not playing games here. Amen. We must end this age. Amen. Whatever is the beginning must have an end. Amen. We know the beginning, we know the end. We've been taught. In this feast we are expecting, we are experiencing. When the glory manifests, we are going to see what will happen. He's coming back for a glorious church. Not having spots, wrinkles, or anything. He's not come back for a glorious church that has spots and wrinkles with money. Is that what the Bible says? We're going to have money anyway. Money is not the issue. It's a church without spots, wrinkles, blemish, or any such thing. If you are going to get married, everybody, beauty is in the eyes of a beholder. To you, be somebody that is, the nose is like this. Are you going to marry? Answer my question. He has put his choice in the Bible and come to marry a glorious church without spot. Why did the women make up? Church, you better start making up with an ornament of a big and a square spirit. It's at a great price. I don't know who's going for his or her wedding. I'll dress sharply when they have announced the dates. Why do women wear white garments or whatever the wedding dress? Why everything they will ask, they will do the hair, they will do this. And they are coming as if they've never worked before. And they are praying. And then you see the husband begin to look behind. The master is beginning to look behind you. There is an emergence of a packed church. You can already see. Like Isaac, when they brought Rebecca. Oh, Rebecca! She just covered her face. And he took her to the chamber. But see, then was Isaac comforted. We must comfort the Lord though. Amen. He paid the price and went to hell. We're not playing games in church. Amen. Let's wake up. Amen. Let me continue. So he said, they preach a cross without a crown without a cross. These seducing spirits produce doctrine of devils that we see operating in the church leaders today, the soul system. Pastor Aristotle talked about passive witchcraft. What is it? I just read because of time. Satan's power operating through Christians by the loss of flesh. Remember Demas. To give them physical and material blessings that is not the will of God for them at a particular stage of their spiritual development, adding leanness to their soul. There's nothing wrong in prospering, but God has put a condition. He said, beloved, I wish above all that may prosper and be eternal. It must also prosper. There's so much nonsense going on. One came to mind, I just mentioned it. Nowadays, you see them pick a small boy that's not up to 5 years old. They will cram scriptures. They see the So come up, they sit down. And the guy with the small boy reading out scriptures. Haven't you seen this? They send it around. So all small boys say, can you is this? You know, then they were clapping. They say, the boy had a ministry. At what age? No, let's read what the Bible says. Let's follow the master. At 12, he didn't preach a message. Now take a 10-year-old boy. Because you want to make money. They not put scriptures into me. And totally dying. They now begin to speak before God's people. They start beginning to... Somebody's always been in children's church. He starts spouting our scriptures. He said, yeah, amen. Just say, Satan, just leave them. Just leave them. All kinds of nonsense. Going on in the body of Christ. Entertainment, be deal-oriented. Gospel. Just to make money. So, that's what it says in... We don't have to turn there. Psalm 106 says, send leaders to give them. It says, it's God that will give them. You see, once you decide not to follow after godliness, perfection, after some time, if you insist, also, let him have it, like the opportunity of Israel. But the day you take it, that day you have signed your death warrants in the wilderness. But just don't take it. I'm not saying you can make mistakes, but please quickly bounce back. Are you following me? Because they are showed you last song. So you either put it, I say you either love the truth or you love the world. You say you either love the truth or you love the world. 2 Thessalonians 2:9. You either love the truth or you love the world. You know that's what people say. So it can sink in your mind. There are no two ways. You can't put one leg here and put another leg here. It's not possible. After some time, it will drag you. That's what happened to Lot. He was not supposed to be there. Don't go where your father's dread to tread. Abraham did not go there. I said again, don't go where your father's dare to tread. By the time he left with some Sodom meaning. His wife had more, the daughters had more. So that thing just came out. The wife looked back. The daughters committed incest. What is he doing there? If Abraham did not go there with all his faith, father of faith, he did say, I'll use faith to get them born again. So it is you that you're undercovering, that you want to go there. What does it say? It says, even him whose coming is afterwards, the working of Satan. Talking about the Antichrist, but what is the spirit of Antichrist in the world? It says, after working of Satan, with all what? Power and signs and lying wonders. Next verse. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Because what? They receive not the love of the truth. So if you don't love truth, you are loving the world. That they might be saved. Spirit, soul, and body. Next verse. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Say, and for this cause. And for this cause. Who did it? Is it Satan? God. Say God. The Father. The Son. And the Holy Spirit, send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. It's happening in the church today. They have so much belief in this nonsense that they do that you cannot even convince them. They are drunk with the spirit of Babylon. God just sent them, since you are not going to do my will, go and do your way. Just get the same thing that happened to Judas. So Judas, so he had been praying for him. When he came to the last minute, he said, Judas, that which thou do quickly. What one anointed? Everything he said came to pass. When he gave me that month, that was anointing. Judas did it with a spirit of excellence. Like Papa Ralph said, you know, when they came to arrest Jesus Christ, he said, he kissed him. And he brought out the prophetic word. He said, he kissed the door and missed the entrance. Jesus Christ is the door. He said, I am the door. So he kissed the door. But he missed. He never got inside. He didn't get born again. Maybe not kiss the door and miss the entrance. Yeah. What are we saying? Satan uses, also pastor has preached about it, witchcraft and New Testament idolatry. Satan uses rebellious and stubborn hearts as a portal, I mentioned earlier on, as a platform to release his power into the earth and counterfeit or distort God's purpose. You see, they twist it. So we see, the Bible says, the heart of the king is the hand of the Lord. As rivers of water, turn into thy will. So when by reason of time, somebody should be a king, and not giving the heart to the Lord. If Lord is not turning it, somebody else is turning it to. That is what is happening. That is what is happening. So then I take that heart as a potter. I begin to turn it to do lying signs and wonders. Do not deceive. Evil communications, the Bible says, corrupt good manners. Do not be deceived. You don't sit down and fellowship with them. So you're hearing the word of God. If you take that doctrine of devil and you begin to do it, and it begins to manifest, gradually you are moving out of order. That will not be our portion. We will not do it in Joseph. We are under covering. That's what is keeping all of us. That's a fact. That's a fact. I don't deceive myself. If you want to know, let God allow you to face some temptations. Then when you stagger and you shake, I say, I thought I was a spiritual giant. You know, pastor at the moment. That's what is supplementing what you are doing. What you have been told to do, you are not doing it all the time. You try and go to, I don't want to mention any place. Where there's, let me just say, any city like Sodom and Gomorrah. The best you can do is to keep quiet and allow them to vex your soul. You can't control them. They have made up their mind. God has given them strong delusion. So don't company with them. Come on, Baba. Thank you, sir. And be separate. So, what are we saying? That is what is going on. Mark chapter 13, verse 22. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, I'm grateful. What does this say? Let's move. Lord Jesus was talking, same context. He said, for false. Because Christ means anointing, the anointed one. And false prophets. So you can see how he operates. Shall what rise? And show signs and wonders to what? Seduce. As if it were possible, the very elect. So the seduction is not directed at the world. It's directed at you and I. But we'll not fall for it because we're under covering. He said, what did I do today? The other Satan's control. The Bible says, the world light under wickedness. So he said, the very elect. Next verse. This is the master talking now. Say, but take it. Say, take it. Behold, I have foretold you all things. The master said it. Paul echoes it. And we are echoing it today under covering. That's the old message, part of speech, the earlier part of this year, about overcoming the spirit of witchcraft and idolatry in the church. It's rampant. If you're not careful and you don't guard your heart, you begin to wonder. When you see the miracles taking place, the Bible says they are lying signs and wonders. Praise the Lord. So he talks about it. Now, verse 2. What does verse 2 say? Thank you, Holy Spirit. He says, speaking lies in a broken street. Having their conscience seared with the, and that means these people are liars. Their father is the devil. I was just going to say. So they lie. They come and say, look, if you give $419, God will supply your needs according to riches glory by Christ Jesus. So those that don't have, that's it. You need to exercise honesty of heart too. When somebody says you give something you don't have, don't go and borrow. Bible says it is clear. It is according to what the man has. You see, if you exercise honesty of heart, you will not fall for that trap. But if you are greedy, you go and take a loan from cooperative. Why? Because you now go and borrow $419, convert it to naira. Then you come like a lamb led to the slaughter. Then you give the man of God. The man who buys another jeep. Then you end up walking around the streets. Honesty of heart, that is the key. Honesty, humility. God, no, I don't have this thing. And if you want me to give it, then you probably, I don't have. If you don't understand what is going on, I don't have. So why should I go and borrow? And then I'll be in debt. What you can't afford? Honesty of heart. They not submit to it. That's how you detect. The signs and wonders will deceive. Oh, let me begin to round up. So you see, that's how you say, having their conscience said. Say conscience said. They lie. They twist the scriptures. Conscience. You see, your conscience is like the needle. We talked about it before. On the compass. It is supposed to point to the north. Am I right or wrong? You see, and it's any time you turn away from the north, you come, it will flick like you shake and you move to the north. So if you are going the wrong direction, look at the compass. That is north. Right or wrong? What did God tell the Israelites in the wilderness? He said, you have come past this mountain, run away for long. Go your north. That is perfection. No? So your needle of your compass, your conscience, must be set to going on to the north. So anytime somebody takes you off, I look at the compass. They just turn back and align. Amen. Is Mount Zion the size of a north? The city of the great. That is where that's the city of the great king. Not Jerusalem. Amen. Not Dubai, Israel. So that compass. You see, Bob said these people, their conscience is seared with the hot iron. I mentioned last time, it's like when you have, when you want to brand animals, they either use a hot iron or they will use ice, very cold. The whole essence is that they will kill the tissues in that part. So that part is no longer sensitive to any kind of external stimuli. So these people, they are no longer sensitive or responsive to truth. You see, when God sees that I've got in that place, he leave them alone. The Ephraim is joined to idols. Leave them alone. They are set in their ways. So God, if God said nothing can be done, don't pray for them. There's no point praying. Because that conscience has been set. Judas. He had prayed. He got to a stage, he was set. And when he decided he was set, he said, okay, take this up. That without you have too quickly. It wasn't his fault though. Like we say, why you cannot spill milk? Somebody is set. God said you can't change the game. They have given up on him. Then you're now praying for him. That's why he rebuked Saul. He rebuked Samuel. He said, stop praying for Saul. Why are you praying for him? He said. He said, don't deal. That day, Saul kept living. Ruled Israel for 40 years. But the day he misbehaved, he was set. God has set him aside. And I picked David. He was only marking time, giving David room to grow before he can come to the throne. A lot of us are going on today. Don't mind them. Retired gatekeepers. God has retired them. But it's not taking anointing from them. Saul still fought battles. But one day, they are approaching the Mount of Gilboa today with their spiritual sons. That day, David is not going to be there. David is back on his way to Ziklag. To go and recover all. That is the assignment given to him. Not to go and fight the Philistines. The Philistines are going to kill Saul. So God removed him. Away on the Simbe. Don't go. They sent him back. And then they went back. And when he heard, he started crying. It's because his heart was not for Saul to die. Understand that. We don't wish anybody evil. Don't go away with the wrong message. I think we call fire down. That means you have joined them. We are not calling fire down anybody. We are just saying. But the Bible says that Abraham understood the facts. It must be clear in your mind. Where to make a choice, you know where to go with meekness and lowliness of heart. He said, if you have show for the reason of your faith with meekness, I'm not going there. If you see them, God bless you, sir. Let them be wearing their bishop wreath and all. I've been seeing a uniform. You wear all these robes. And then you want big cap. I think that is what brings the anointing. Folks, I can tell you by the grace of God, I can preach in my boxers. It is not what you wear that gives you the anointing. Amen. It is not, yeah, I never said it. So you are not, I'm not preaching this well. Don't come to church in your boxers, please. That's what I'm saying. But I'm trying to tell you that it is not what you wear on the outside that brings the anointing. It is what you wear on the inside, an ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit. In the sight of Amen. God, which is of great price, dress properly. Amen. That is your daily spiritual underwear. Before you go out, when you go out, you begin to attract two people, godly people. He said he can win his husband over by meek and a quiet spirit. Yeah, you're not married. Get that ornament. Very few needing a stock. You start attracting the right ones. Then God Himself, God begins to fellowship with you. He said, who is this man? Will I look unto? The one that has of a contract, and it is the same thing God is looking for. Just alongside, that's why I want to get married. Dress, put on a spiritual underwear. Every morning, that's my love book. When you are dressed, then you go out. You attract the presence of God. Then funny people will not be following around the whole place. What is not for the wise? Have mercy, I need to stop. So, verse 3. What is doctrine of devils? I'll stop here. Says he mentions one, verse 3. What is it? Forbidden to what? To marry. And commanded to abstain from meats which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them that believe and know the truth. Forbidden to marry. I put it here. He said unto one, what you upgrade? I put it here. Forbidden to marry. Marriage is defined by God. As defined by God, is between man and woman. Yes, you don't believe. Yes, that's 2 verse 24. Put it there. It's either we align with what it says, or we are on the other side. The church needs to say it out loud. Therefore, Shall a woman leave his skin and join his woman? So why do you tolerate it in your mind? Therefore, shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife. It already tells you, and you two shall be one flesh. And that is not that, it's not one flesh, yo. Bible calls it strange flesh in 1 Peter. So anything that comes against the institution of marriage, either by cohabitation, either by being gay, LGBT, I don't care what it is, that is trying to erode the foundation of which God has said. You see, God said it before the fall of man. Before man fell. So anything that erodes that, you better take it captive and say what it is. It's the doctrine of devil. Whatever. I don't care whatever name you call it. That's why I want them, Revelation chapter 2. I need to stop, my father. Have mercy on me. Revelation chapter 2, verse 20. There's space to repent. You see, there are some people that believe it's rampant in the body of Christ. Adultery. Fornication. The man of God is having an affair with more than three people in the choir. Yes, it's happening. There's no time for that today. What does Revelation says? Notwithstanding, talking to church in Tatura, I have a few things. Ah, Jesus shall only a few. Against thee, if I thought I could lay it forward, because you suffered the woman Jezebel, we call her herself a prophetess. Can you lick her? To what? To teach her to teach doctrines of devils. To and to seduce my servants. To commit fornication, spiritual and physical. And to eat things of father and sacrifice to idols, spirit of Babylon. You are eating things sacrificed to idols. When they bring or collect perpetual offerings. In those days, you know, they will go and kill and worship and one idol. But these things, the Satan is not a fool. Some of you think I still ride the bicycle. Satan has a smartphone. You think he's using all these old phones that Nitel? Why will you be deceived? Things offered to idols are when a man of God stands like this. Like that one I gave, and they come and give offerings. The giving offerings to idolatry in the New Testament, Colossians says it's covetousness. So don't partake of your sins. Forbidden to marry. I've spoken about how God defined marriage. So any doctrine that distorts marriage as defined by God, the doctrine of the devil. You know why? I'm going to stop. If you start eroding the home, the foundation of the society is being destroyed. Children understand it though. There's no science though. Let nothing teach you that there's one foolish genome. Cast out that evil genome. God didn't make it like that. The Bible said, we'll see later. He said, he beat everything. It was good. Whatever begins to erode the foundation of the home is going to affect the church. It's going to affect the nation. How do you explain when a man and a woman get married? So to speak, as they call it, marriage you call divorce. They're so poor. They want to adopt a child. What about your mother? Innocent child. What do you want to teach your child? It's crept into the church. Oh. They now begin to, if you download recent Bible applications, they begin to omit those things there. Yes, NIV. They begin to omit it. They begin to redefine what God said. As if God didn't know what you said in the beginning. God forbid bad thing. That is why the Bible said, I didn't mention this, Jude chapter 1 verse 3. He said, contend for the faith. That was what I was given. He said, contend. I'm not talking about going to carry placards and all that. You contend on your knees. You pull that evil genius that is spouting out doctrines. To the retired gatekeepers, luring people. You may say, I'm not doing it. Lot did not do it, but God didn't approve. You can say, I'm quiet about it. No, leave that place. Don't tolerate nonsense. Come out from among them and be separate. That is God's definition of marriage. You cannot change it. That's what my father said. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one. If it's not that, it is Satan, yeah, and the doctrine of the devil. Yeah. And contend, put it there for God said, Jude chapter 1, verse 3. I'll close on that scripture. Content, content, content. Say, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of a common salvation, it was needful, say, needful. Needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly, say, earnestly, earnestly, content for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. How do you contend earnestly? I have that message for another day. Through prayer. Say, Epaphras, laboring for you. Honestly, they all stand perfect in your God. It's not a physical contending. You can't put a placard. We are not against. No, you have missed the point. He's on your knees. And the darkness is seeking to cover the earth. Yea, God's darkness. You arise through intercession. You arise through speaking the word. And you push back that darkness. So you don't wake up one day and your daughter comes up, God forbid, that's not a portion. And begins to say, Paul begins to argue with you. That already you are old fashioned. Things have changed. My point yet. Emeta. Fast. Before I even pray, God will forgive me. But my point yet. Pa, 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 pa. That his senses can come. If that is the way, how come you are here if your daddy has married a man? It's sensible now. If I cause one ideology, I begin to say, Daddy, that's old time. Things have changed, you know. You know, you need to tolerate them. I'm not saying we don't stone them. We don't hate them. It doesn't matter. I told somebody one day, I said, so if you are supporting that nonsense, so you will you mind if your dad discovers today that he's not as a girl, then he now goes to pick a man. And then you are the man. Say, come on, son. Come on, be my best man. So much. Everybody kept quiet. Why are you supporting it? Let us pray. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We are grateful. Thank you. Let's talk to God. Let's talk to God. It's a call unto prayer. It's a call unto prayer. You are saying, let your priest weep before the altar. Yes. That you now have come to birth, but have no strength to bring forth. There's a contention. My God, put it in Hosea, I think it's 3:13. There's a bringing forth about to happen in the church. Just like in Revelation 12, he stood before the man child. Want him to devour that child, because that child's destiny is to rule the nations with a rod of iron and break them. Hosea. Rest together. The sorrows of a traveling woman shall come upon me. Talking about Ephraim. He is an unwise son. Why is he an unwise son? For he should not stay long in the place of the breaking forth of children. We are to hasten the coming of the Lord. If you stay long in that place, it's called stillborn. So once you have entered the back canal, position your head. As the child begins to travel, you better come out. The Bible says a voice of noise in the city. A voice of noise in the city. It said in the temple. He said a voice that rendered recompense unto his enemies. Said before she traveled, she brought forth. Said, who had seen such a thing? That's what it goes. Shall the nation be one as one? Yes. For as soon as Zion travel, she brought forth. But look at Ephraim. When Ephraim spake trembling, my God, says, "Wrath of the heavenly one shall come upon him." That all those sorrows, those bad times you are feeling, is God allowing it to come to pass. Oh, some of us will not pray. Too much tribulation. You will not pray when you have come. That's why they are not praying. That's it, that you are poor, miserable, wretched. You say you have need of nothing. So they are in the bad canal, but now moving forward to be birth as sons of God. It says, not stay long in the place of breaking forth of children. Next verse. It's an unwise son, we should not stay long in the place of the breaking forth of children. Put it amplified. Let's stand up to pray. Time has gone. Say, the pains of a woman in childbirth are coming on for him to be born. But he's an unwise son, foolish virgin. For now, when it is time to be born, he comes now to the place where unborn children break forth. The breaker company. And needs new birth. but makes no effort to acquire it. When the time of breaking forth, that's why the pressure is so much on everyone. But take advantage of that pressure and move to the bath canal. For there must be a manifestation of the sons of God in this hour. I will have no other gods but you alone. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for covering. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
No other God but you alone. I will bow to no other God but you.
Says spiritual fathers, put one hand on your heart, another hand to heaven. It is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but to show mercy. It takes the mercy of God not to be deceived. It also takes covering not to be deceived. That's why Jesus Christ said in that same context, he said, oh Jesus, I wanted to gather you as a hen. He's not wanted to be deceived, but he did not come under covering. So it takes mercy, grace, and help and covering. Say, Father, we confess our sins, and so we're clean. But the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name, we have life. Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me of what is coming already and taking place in the body of Christ in these latter times. I come to receive mercy. I come to receive grace. I come to duck under covering so that I will not give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. I receive grace and mercy to always speak the truth to myself in my heart, thereby having always and exercising, disciplining myself, mortifying my body, deadening my carnal affections, bodily appetites, worldly desires, endeavoring in all respects to have a clear, unshaken, and blameless conscience, void of offense toward God. Amen. Let's pray in the Spirit. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for your message. Lord, just thank you for your grace. Holy Spirit, thank you for all of us. We give you all the praise and the glory. Thank you for covering. We thank you so much, Father, of the house. In Jesus' name. Amen.